Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. On today's program, why are so many school districts applying for a maximum class size exemption in elementary grades? I'll speak with Sulphur Springs ISD Superintendent Patsy Bolton about why her school district did it and why a far greater number of districts has done so in the state this school year compared to years past. And a couple of features for you on this Friday, including a review of the drought's impact on area hay farmers. Plus, we'll tell you about a new business where shopping is done for you and brought directly to your home. Those stories are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
You may have been thinking about corporate underwriting on KETR, but don't know how to get started. Let us make it easy for you. Call 903-513-9684. I'm Sherry Gardner. I'll be happy to explain the process step by step. If you like, I can even swing by and drop off some information for you to look at. It's that easy.
Here's First Lady Michelle Obama and David Murphy of the Texas Rangers for Let's Move.
There are so many fun and easy things we can do to be healthier.
First, set aside an hour a day to get up and play.
Second, play can be anything. Catch, tag, just running around.
Third, eat healthier. It's key to the whole game plan.
Everyone can play. Visit letsmove.gov and get moving.
A message from Let's Move, USDA, the Ad Council, MLB, and the players.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to check out the headlines from this week throughout Northeast Texas. Hunt County attorneys have issued citations against five companies named in the county jail suit who have yet to formally respond to an amended petition in the case. Officials are seeking to recover up to $30 million in the litigation, which was initially filed 3 years ago. Filing for the March primary election is officially underway after starting on Monday. The last day to file is December 15th. Officials say a 71-year-old West Tewakoni man died last weekend when his house caught fire. John Little John Riding was a founding member of the Scorpions Motorcycle Club. The house was fully involved upon emergency arrival, and Riding was found dead upstairs once the fire was extinguished. The Sixth Court of Appeals in Texarkana will hear oral arguments next week in the murder appeal of Joshua William Lay. Lay was found guilty last year for the 2009 shooting death of Daryl Wayne Feggett. The two were reportedly arguing over money. Sheen Michelle Lytle has pleaded not guilty to the March killing of Mickey Cupp at a Hunt County residence. Lytle will next appear in court in April for trial. 7-year-old Jasmine Henson has died and 4 family members injured in a Tuesday evening mobile home fire south of Winsboro. The family members hospitalized are expected to be okay. The cause of the fire is believed to be electrical. Commerce Assistant Police Chief Steve Harrison resigned in mid-November. In a letter of resignation, City Manager Mark Clayton says Harrison will pursue other interests. His emergency management coordinator role has also been reassigned. Harrison had been with the department since 1997. The Paris City Council on Monday, as did Lamar County Commissioners, agreed to fund a portion of the right-of-way acquisition and utility relocation costs for the widening of State Highway 24. More than $30 million is approved by TxDOT for the project, which is expected to begin in a couple of years. Authorities have arrested Amanda Aiken Smith, the Lamar County woman who was wanted for allegedly embezzling nearly $80,000 from a Reno business where she was once employed. Local law enforcement received a tip as to her whereabouts. She was found at a Hugo, Oklahoma motel. The Wood County Grand Jury has indicted 57-year-old Connie Reed Young for causing an accident resulting in death. The third-degree felony stems from the October hit-and-run that killed 15-year-old Jacob Burrell, a student at Mineola High School. A judge has set trial for next June in the murder case of Javon Newman. Devin Eugene Royal has pleaded not guilty to the shooting death. His alleged co-actor, Antonio Durance Fletcher, does not currently have a trial date set. The phone lines for Lamar County Safe Ride program were scheduled to open this weekend in an attempt to transport citizens home safely and avoid a tragedy. That's been delayed to the New Year's weekend. Dylan's Drivers is named after Dylan Ballard, who died from injuries sustained from an alcohol-related crash in July. His parents started the company. The city of Sulphur Springs may have to switch from Cooper Lake to Sulphur Springs for water by mid-next year should low levels continue. Cooper Lake's water level is only 6 or 7 feet above a silt barrier between the main body of the lake and the pumping intake structure. The City of Commerce and New Orleans-based Fountain Blue Management Services face a June 2012 trial in which the city claims is a case of illegal dumping. Fountain Blue and 8 other companies named deny the allegations, blaming the previous owners of the apartment complex on Live Oak Street. And Lamar County Commissioners have accepted a Texas Parks and Wildlife Department grant for $200,000 that will extend the trail to Paris another 3 miles into the city of Blossom. That would make the trail, which started in 2003, 10 miles long. As a check of some of the news making headlines this week, more information at our website. Coming up next, I speak with Sulphur Springs Superintendent Patsy Bolton. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep from NPR News. I'm thinking of that New Yorker cartoon where one person at a party turns to another person at the party and says, "And that's not just my opinion, it's the opinion of somebody on NPR." Next time you're at a cocktail party, you can be ready for some scintillating conversation if you keep up with the news by listening in the mornings to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
Jared Knight here, and there's so much to tell you about the new KETR.org. This is an upgrade that we're really excited about. Did you know that you can now like or comment on each and every article at KETR.org? That's right. When there's a news story that you're glad we did, you can now click the thumbs up to let us know that we're on the right track. And if you want to interact with a comment on a blog post, go for it. It's all part of the new KETR.org.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. And joining me now by phone, the superintendent of Sulphur Springs ISD, Patsy Bolton. And Superintendent Bolton, thanks so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm very well, Scott. How are you?
Good. We're happy to have you on. And we know that your school district, like several others in the Northeast Texas region, are struggling with class size. And in fact, a recent report in the Dallas Morning News finds that there was a more than threefold increase in just 1 year in number of elementary schools allowed to exceed class size limits. Your district has 4 elementary schools, and you have applied for some waivers this year, have you not?
Yes, we have.
Okay. Well, if you could just kind of take us through the process and why your school district has gone down this road and kind of a sense of the impact it has.
For a number of years, we've had to apply for a class size waiver because our elementary schools have been so crowded. And we're building a new middle school now, and we'll be reorganizing all of our elementary schools. So we will, for the first time in many, many, many years, have adequate classrooms available. So what we have requested this year does not, it hasn't been any more than it has been in the past.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious, districts can cite, you know, financial hardship, lower property or tax revenue, or other factors when they seek the exemptions. What were some of the reasons for your school district seeking it this year?
Well, we have two main reasons. One of them is the facilities, classroom availability, and then, of course, the cost. Financial hardship is the one that they added this year that we have not had in the past, and it is a hardship when you may have 5 extra students and it's you don't have enough students for a whole classroom, mm-hmm. but you have too many if you have to stay with the 22-to-1. So I'm looking at our report right now, and on these, we have, on each one of them, we have said that it is because of our facilities and also the financial hardship.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me kind of your opinion as to, if you are allowed more students in these classes, say, you know, get up to 23, 24, 25 students with just that one teacher, how does that impact the students?
Well, I know it's hard to understand, but every student has an impact in a classroom. You know, it would be perfect if we could have 16, 18 students in a classroom, but we could not financially afford to do that. And there's nothing really sacred about 22, but it's just a place where you would cut and say, you know, it makes it really difficult on a teacher and on the students as well, getting the attention that they need if you are getting the larger your classes are. Your classroom sizes also are affected because with different kinds of instruction that are going on today, the desks are not always just in straight rows, and it makes it very difficult if you're getting 25, 27 students in a classroom. There are a lot of factors. In today's society, students' needs are greater than ever before. And any time that they can get some type of small group instruction or one-on-one instruction, those students are going to do much better. If you had a classroom of 25 or 30 top-notch students, then your classrooms would not be affected as much having large numbers. But when you have some students that are not speaking the English language, they don't understand the English language, and you're trying to teach those students as well as the at-risk students that are having learning problems, various reasons, it's very difficult to serve the needs of all of those students the higher your numbers get.
And I know that as a district that's in Region 8, you're probably communicating with administrators throughout that region. Are they experiencing the same problems?
Well, I can only speak for our district. I don't really know. Of course, that is a concern, but
is it something that's talked about a lot, though, within the region?
Not any more so than other financial crises that we're in right now. There's so many that we're having to deal with, the lack of funds and reducing your staff and trying to serve the needs of all of the students when you don't have the proper staff and your finances are cut and you're trying to make arrangements for helping those students in all areas, and it's just almost impossible.
But you think the addition of the new middle school, of course, that will come online next school year, that will serve as a better use of the instructors and the facilities and, of course, a better environment for the students.
We will be in much, much better shape space-wise because we have, over the past few years, we've cleaned out book rooms, closets. We're having classroom, some instruction, I'll say, going on in some of the hallways and some nooks and crannies, and we will be able to have the appropriate classrooms for every teacher, and that's going to help our district tremendously.
Mrs. Bolton, thank you so much for being with us. Sulphur Springs Superintendent Patsy Bolton joining us here on The Lead. Let's take a break and come back with our Friday feature. That's next. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
Want more information on the most recent movies in theaters? Then tune in Friday mornings with Movie Picks with Alice Reese.
Got really good dialogue. Originally a Sam Peckinpah movie, it was shocking at the time.
Alice Reese is the movie reviewer for the Greenville and Rockwall Herald Banner, and she joins KETR Friday mornings. It's the perfect place to get the information you want on the most recent movies. Only on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's no secret that this year's drought has taken its toll on the Texas agriculture industry. Radio and television student Ethan Griggs profiles the struggles of a couple of area hay farmers in today's Friday feature.
In 2011, Texas has seen one of the worst droughts in nearly a century. The most affected by this drought has been the farmer, more specifically the hay producers.
It cut the production by about half,
says Chad Griggs, a hay producer from Cattle Mills, who no matter how bad the drought got, maintained his reputation as a quality hay producer.
Quality stayed the same, price stayed the same. I didn't gouge nobody.
And with a scarce product, this drought seemed to be a little more trying than previous times.
It was bad, but it didn't seem to make the people as crazy.
The cowboy Tommy Griggs has seen his fair share of droughts, but says he has never seen one this bad.
You know, I'm 70 years old, and I've seen four or five droughts, like in the 54 and the 70s and 05 and 06, but this has been the worst one to draw water and burn up crops. Worse than I've seen since I've been here.
And as far as the hay situation, he says it's the worst that he's ever seen.
Hay shortage is the worst I've ever seen it. I've never seen hay. They're baling wheat straw, cotton stalks, corn stalks, and it's selling for what regular hay price ought to bring. And hay prices ought to be bringing 30, and they're bringing 160 and 70, and from 100 and a quarter on those corn stalks and stuff. This is the worst I've ever seen it in my 55 years of been dealing in it.
And along with this immense hay shortage, this drought has brought some very deep cracks in the earth.
I've never seen such cracks in this earth. They're from 8 inches up to 9 to 11 inches wide and deep, 4 and 5 foot deep, you can run a stick in, and it's unreal.
And with meteorologists predicting a not too rainy future, there's only one solution for this weather predicament we're in.
Well, as soon as it goes back to raining, things will get back to normal.
Ethan Griggs for 88.9 KTR.
Thanks, Ethan. A double dose of features for you today. And I know we've all dreamed about this next topic, a delivery grocery service. It's now available locally. It just takes a phone call or an email. KETR intern Ben Kelso has the story.
Today, listeners, we're going to take you on a ride-along. No, not that type of ride-along. Today, we're going on a ride with one of Hunt County's newest and youngest entrepreneurs, Andrew Davis. Andrew is one of Hunt County's youngest and newest entrepreneurs, and you may have seen his ads in the newspapers recently. He started his own business this past August. The business is called Grocery Butler, and not the typical type of business you'd expect to think of.
So your professional grocery delivery service. I deliver groceries for people.
That's right. For a small fee, he can do all your grocery shopping so you no longer have to deal with any other complaining customers or those dreaded long lines. And he's even willing to deliver anywhere in Hunt County. Andrew has had several different jobs since he graduated college, but nothing seemed to satisfy him. He just knew he wanted to make a decent living and try to help people. So he asked himself one simple question.
I said, what kind of services are not being offered? And a lot of this, you know, grocery delivery.
And when added to the fact that he was already an adequate shopper, Grocery Butler only made sense.
I cook, and I'm used to grocery shopping for my family, so this is not something that I haven't ever done before. I do know how to shop efficiently. I just translated that into work.
The service is great for anyone who, for whatever reason, is unable to go grocery shopping on their own. The Grocery Butler offers friendly, speedy service at your convenience and even comparison shopping. So whether you want the cheapest thing or a specific brand, your needs will be met. And this wasn't something that could be put together so quickly for a young entrepreneur. Much thought and preparation was put into starting this service.
I saved up, and a lot of research, door-to-door polling, and went around asking people, figuring out what people actually needed, if people were willing to pay for this, how much they'd be willing to pay for it.
So after saving up for the last 6 months and doing research on the area and potential customers, Andrew is ready to get things underway.
Hello.
Good morning, Mrs. Crowley.
Andrew, nice to see you.
I have your grocery order for you.
Thank you. Bring it in, please.
Even though he just started, his customers are already extremely grateful and think this service is long overdue in the area.
Absolutely. I've told everybody I talk to how terrific it is. This has been needed for years, even working mothers, you know, people that have no time. Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a service that does have a positive impact on the community and will benefit many people. Though he wouldn't oppose expansion in the future, his real focus has been on making a living and lending a helping hand.
I don't have huge goals of nationwide expansion or anything for that. I just want to make a living. I'd like to make an honest job out of this. And hopefully I can make a living while helping people. And helping elderly people is one of the best things you can do.
So keep your eye out in the future, and you just might see our county's newest delivery service, always keeping it classy in slacks and a bow tie, at a store near you. For more information on pricing or how to set up service, simply visit his website at www.groceributler.biz. I'm Ben Kelso, 88.9 KETR.
Thanks, Ben. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And remember, if you have a Friday feature story idea for the program, we'd love to hear from you. Just send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. Let's take a break. We're back to wrap things up after this on your station, 88.9 KETR.
The happiest people I know are people who volunteer.
Kathy Torgerson took the skills she gained during her career in the travel industry and began a second career as a volunteer for RSVP. What are you going to do with your lifetime of experience? If you're 55 or older, go to getinvolved.gov or call 1-800-424-8867 to find out how you can volunteer. We have so much to offer, and our nation needs us. Make a difference for generations. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service.
Hi, I'm Rick Howard.
And I'm Stan the Man Kratchman.
Your host for Big Band Stage Door Canteen, inviting you to join us each week for the finest big band music.
With notable artists such as Benny Goodman, Artie Shaw, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, and much, much more.
So join us for Big Band Stage Door Canteen each Monday night at 11 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. Let's now run down the community events calendar for Northeast Texas. And due to the threat of rain, a number of Christmas activities were postponed from this weekend to next weekend. And the ones that were rescheduled include Sulphur Springs, that's next Saturday as opposed to this Saturday. Paris has also been delayed. Wolf City was postponed until next weekend, as is the City of Cooper Christmas Parade. And we were still waiting on the Greenville Christmas Parade. They were going to make that decision sometime today. So potentially another Christmas Parade postponed. The ones that are postponed are just taking place a week later. And we'll have that information up on our events calendar website next week, so you can check that out. There were a lot of Christmas parades already scheduled for next week, so no postponement there. Let's tell you about some other events taking place in the Northeast Texas region. The Northeast Texas Choral Society performs their Christmas concert this Saturday and Sunday, and you may recall last Friday we had our feature about the Choral Society from Jasmine Trejo. The Chamber Singers perform at the First Presbyterian Church of Commerce on Sunday evening. The Paris Junior College Music Department is conducting a holiday concert as well. That's December 5th through the 6th. And Brunch with Santa is taking place Saturday evening at the Northeast Texas Children's Museum in Commerce. A reminder that each one of these events and others can be found at our website, ketr.org/events, and we strongly encourage you post your own event, and we'll read it on the air. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Patsy Bolton, superintendent at Sulphur Springs ISD, who spoke with us about the struggles of exceeding requests for maximum class size exemptions. We also hope you enjoyed our Friday feature from Ethan Griggs on the Texas drought and how it's affecting local hay farmers, plus Ben Kelso's story on the grocery butler, now delivering to the Greenville area. We'll be back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Remember, you can now hear archives of this show on our website, ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.